There you go. Here's my man, Mike Rowe, right here. No relation, by the way, just in case people are wondering.
To your first name and his last name?
Exactly. Although my first name is a last name. Well, it was my mother's last name. But again, different spelling, different name, and not really. Although I would love to claim that I am related to Mike Rowe. Because he's a
Well, there are no coincidences. I mean, clearly, you're Roro.
Yes.
I mean, it's written in the stars.
Yeah, don't you know it, pal. All right. So first of all, let's before we get into the meat of some of the other stuff going on, how's your week been? Good?
Yeah, so far so good.
Yeah.
I just landed last night from somewhere, and I've been in a VO booth all morning telling stories of, you know, men fishing for crabs in the Bering Sea, and yeah, just another Friday.
Just another Friday for you. Did you get a chance to watch the inauguration today? What do you have thoughts?
I did. I stepped away and I watched about an hour of it, and then I went back to work. So, yeah, it seemed to go off without incident.
Your reaction though to the speech, what did you think, Mike?
You know, the first thing that struck me was it was consistent. It was consistent with who the guy is, you know, and I was kind of relieved that he didn't try to pretend to be something that he wasn't. I don't think I expected him to do that, but it was kind of short on poetry, you know, as these kinds of speeches go.
Right,
but
a little less flowery.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a lot of soaring rhetoric, but, you know, it's weird. Like, for the first 2 minutes, I thought, yeah, this is not really what we've been trained to expect. But as he got into it, I was more thinking, but you know what? It's pretty consistent with who he's been, for better or worse, like him or not. It was a muscular kind of speech. I thought, ultimately, it landed.
Yeah. All right, let's get into a little bit of what happened here. You have made a rather interesting intellectual argument about how this election is reminiscent in a lot of ways, historically and in terms of the status of the country and all of that, to the Abraham Lincoln election. And then you endured, I would say, Mike, if I'm, and I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth here, but a poop storm as a result of that.
You have like 4 million hits on that post, and then you've got a lot of people unleash their total rage at you for even making that comparison. Angry.
You know, I don't think they read it or really listened to it, to be honest with you. But then again, I could be wrong. Opinions vary, but what I wrote wasn't designed to be a polemic or really an intellectual observation. I wrote what I did in the context of this podcast I do, which is kind of a ripoff of the old Paul Harvey, The Rest of the Story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a mystery. And in the context of this mystery, I'm not comparing Abraham Lincoln with Donald Trump. I'm comparing the mood of the electorate in the wake of the most contentious election ever, about 150 years ago, with the mood of the electorate today. And, you know, if you look at the similarities that existed in the wake of that election, it is kind of interesting. I told the story through the lens of two brothers who had a really awkward Thanksgiving dinner, like many people did this year.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Both brothers are actors. One is a famous Republican, and the other is a not-so-famous Democrat. But they're both actors, and they fight, and they disagree. And the little brother is convinced the Electoral College is crazy, and the border, and the Supreme Court. They're fighting over all the same things. But the famous brother, of course, turns out to be Edwin Booth was his name. And his younger brother, of course, was John Wilkes Booth, who eventually became famous by shooting the man he believed was a tyrant who had just won the election. And so it's kind of a surprise for people because they think I'm talking about current events, but I'm really talking about something that happened 150 years ago. But when it landed, people were like, oh, my God, he just said Donald Trump was Abraham Lincoln and the world spun off its axis. But, of course, I didn't. I just said 150 years ago people were having a difficult time getting through Thanksgiving dinner as well, mm-hmm. because the border was still a problem.
Right. And America was at less able to define itself. And that has been the truth on and off throughout these 240 years. And we are at a point where definition is cloudy, and for completely different reasons than they were in the 1860s. But it is cloudier. The thing that to me is that the politics of the moment. I mean, it's the Civil War was an actual war, right? It was an actual conflict. You did have brothers and cousins fighting each other, and you did have, you know, America's greatest bloodshed is, you know, her own children fighting with each other, right? Isn't that the best way to put that? But now we have, and this is one of the things, and, you know, back to the speech today, that yes, he definitely was himself today. He wasn't pretending to be somebody else. He's done a lot of negative selling of America throughout this campaign. Very little acknowledgement of things that are right in America, and that is I think that does create a lot of this self-doubt in us. Because if you're constantly being told how bad things are, you start thinking things are bad, as opposed to here's what's bad, here's what's good, here's what we need to work toward, as opposed to this. Although that nuanced approach does tend to be less effective in politics. And that's where we find ourselves.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's hard not to get a little cynical about the process, but there's a kind of kabuki that goes on every 4 years in a lot of different ways as people run for obviously. And, mm-hmm. and part of the way you can get elected is to talk loudly and in dire terms about the fact that the sky is falling. It almost never falls. In fact, it's never really fallen. You know, it's
as far as we can tell. Well, don't tell that to the dinosaurs, Mike. They might look at it differently. Yeah.
Yeah. So okay, every 60 million years, things are going to kind of poop the bed. You know, I get
right.
it. But look, the things people do to get elected, the things they say, this whole dance of, you know, going into the bars and drinking with the coal miners. I mean, I can still remember Hillary, you know, 4 or 8 years ago, whenever it was, doing shots of rye somewhere in Scranton.
Yeah, 8 years ago, yeah.
What do you do? I mean, it's an extraordinary thing. And honestly, it's part of why I think so much of what goes on my Facebook page and so much of what happens in my little foundation feels political. You know, people saw me for 8 years crawling through sewers and doing dirty jobs and then sipping a beer with a regular person and talking about it, which is essentially how you get elected today.
Right.
Which is
well,
why people probably think I'm running for
something. How you did get elected. I think that Donald Trump has changed that a little bit. I mean, he wasn't about to go get his hands dirty necessarily. He talked a good game about how he's with everybody, although it's one of those things, and this is the most amazing thing to me, is that he's such a rare figure in American history, even before he was doing this, that he connected with working class Americans, even though he was the ultimate boss, you know, the self-aggrandizing, get rich quicker, get rich, you know, hard and fast and at other people's expense, right? As a pure, seemingly a pure capitalist. And he was, and yet very, very incredibly popular, you know, with
listening to him talk today, honestly, I would have assumed he was a third party candidate. In fact, I think he is a third party candidate.
Come
I just think he
no
happened
question.
To run. He just happened to run under the Republican ticket.
Right.
And you know, it's funny from my perspective. And go with me here; it's a bit of a stretch.
All right, go. You know what? It's not your first stretch, but go ahead.
I've heard of some others recently.
In 2003, the Discovery Channel had a very, very clear idea of what their brand was, and Dirty Jobs was not a part of it. We snuck on the air. We Forrest Gumped our way onto the air a long time ago, and to their horror, fans loved it. And a year later, we were in prime time, and a year after that, we were the number one show on the network. When I looked at what the GOP sort of went through last year, you got 17 guys and a woman on stage, and wow, you could see who they were rooting for. The GOP wanted us to love Jeb. They wanted us to love,
right,
you know, you can make the list. Anybody but the guy in the middle. Not that guy, right? And so the cognitive dissonance that exists within a network when they suddenly find themselves with a show that they don't want people to like is not so different than the cognitive dissonance that exists within a political party when they suddenly find themselves with a candidate that the people are interested in, but doesn't necessarily match up with their own brand.
Right.
And so,
but he matched up. He caught a tone. He caught an emotion.
And that
certainly was prevalent and caused. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, this is why I was predicting that he was going to win well before others thought that that was even possible because he was catching those audiences. He was catching that people were going places, standing in line for hours for him, which meant they were going to go to the polls for him. And there wasn't that kind of passion for Hillary Clinton. And there wasn't, and Democrats were, and Democrats had sort of divvied up that pie in a lot of different ways. And, you know, Donald Trump says this all the time. It's a shot at her, but it is also true. She wasn't going to the places that she really needed to go to at the end to win. You know, she was taking things for granted. And so there are a lot of different things that happened here. But you know, it is in a lot of ways a perfect storm. You've been in some storms, some poop storms. You've literally in your on your show. I've seen you in a poop storm. I've seen you in a sewer in a poop storm. So that's what you do. So this is so you know, here's where we are now. The guy is, I think, even against his own beliefs, is the president of the United States. And you know, we move forward here and we see where he gets. Well, Mike, I know you got to run, but we'd love to have you back, especially if you're in Chicago. But we'd like to continue this conversation with you.
So. I get there a lot. I'd love to come by. Anybody who's got a first name that is my last name, I don't know. How do I say no?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Right.
But that was that's
check
how that
out the
goes.
Blog post, though. People should definitely check out your
Your Facebook, Mike Rose Facebook.
It's on Facebook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much, pal.
Guys.
Appreciate it.
You got it.